Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that's great. That sounds terrific. Thank you.
Today is AIDS. The road leads back to the down low brother. Before we begin, we want to pause and say the show may not be suitable for young audiences. So parents, if this subject matter is not age appropriate for your child, you might want to have them leave the room at this time. While they do that, let me remind everyone that the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage or our host. In researching for today's show, I came across quite a few HIV and AIDS facts. One I found that was very alarming was that AIDS is the number one killer of African Americans between 25 and 44 in the United States. And 72% of all new cases of women are African American. We also found a CDC report that was released in September of 2010. And the report said that gay, bisexual, and other men who have sex with men represent approximately 2% of the U.S. population, yet they are the population most severely affected by HIV and are the only risk group in which new HIV infections have been increasing steadily since the early 1990s. In 2006, men who had sex with men accounted for more than 53% of all new HIV infections in the U.S., and men who had sex with men with a history of injection drug use accounted for an additional 4% of new infections. Also, we found that males still make up the majority of people living with HIV and AIDS, but it's believed because men are having unprotected sex, first with men and then with women. That said, let me begin by introducing my co-host. First, we have poet, author, and motivational speaker, Mr. A.J. Houston. And second, we have one of Dallas's hottest DJs and club promoters, Mr. Kundalini. Good afternoon, Kundalini.
How you doing, Ms. Carrie?
Good. Looks like Mr. AJ is tardy today, but we'll move forward. We have a great show lined up for today. Any thoughts before we begin on this subject?
I think the main thing that's interesting about the whole process is just the perspective on how everything has changed from the beginning when HIV or AIDS is coming up as far as being a big deal. Everybody pretty much thought it was a homosexual situation. You had to be a homosexual pretty much to have a chance of taking it. And nowadays, it's so many different ways and so many different options that have been exposed. It's still not being talked about probably as much as it should be, but the transition of thought is continually changing about not only HIV or AIDS, but just sexually transmitted diseases in general. And I think it's more conversations that need to be developed because it's starting to be an issue that's going beyond the normal age status of what people think it is as well. It's starting to get a little younger. So,
And older, too. They said because of the Viagra, now that older men are starting to use the Viagra and therefore going out and having a riskier sex partners, I guess, if you will, because of that ability, I guess, to have more stamina, if you will. Anyway, but in doing the research for this show, one of the things that I found that was odd is that doctors have to report every year the patients that they have that have HIV and AIDS. And the number two reason that people were given that about how they think they got the disease because they don't really know. Besides male-to-male contact being the number one, the second category and the third was unknown. I think they said unknown and other. So that means that there are so many people that have it that don't have a clue as to how they got it. So how can we ever get a grasp on the disease if you don't know how you got it?
I mean, it starts out with the beginning, though. A lot of people didn't think it was something that they could get, for one, you know.
Okay.
That's going to be a problem. That's going to be a problem in itself. And then a lot of people don't know. They're a bit more promiscuous in some cases than they might say. So it just develops into a whole bunch of different situations. And now that, you know, the relativity of even just sexual preference is just out there with you know, heterosexual, homosexual, gay, lesbian, whatever, all the different, it's more prevalent that there's so many different options of what the sexual preference is out. I know some of the stuff they have on TV nowadays wouldn't even been on TV in the 60s.
True.
So, you know, it's just a total different situation, and most people, a lot of people just not taking care of themselves. They're not watching who they with. They just, you know, they're taking a lot of risks and a lot of chances just because this person looks good or I want to be with this person or taking something for a moment and not paying attention. And that gets often. I mean, we see that in a lot of TV shows. They just date around. So you never know. You just, people taking risks.
I think that the CDC's numbers, to me, are questionable. I understand that they're reporting that over 1 million people are living with HIV in the United States, or HIV and AIDS, and I think that's low. I think the number is way higher than that. I just think some kind of way, for whatever reason, they're being tight-lipped about what the true numbers are, because it couldn't be just 1 million people.
Well, that might be 1 million people who have actually reported, though. Remember, there's still a lot of people that don't go get checked, that don't haven't been to the doctor for whatever reason, either lack of knowledge or even just the fear of going and finding out that they may have something. So you still got a lot of unreported activity as well.
True. I think someone made a point somewhere I saw on the internet, and it said people are saying, well, you know, how did I get sex? And how did I get AIDS? And they said, if you're having sex in the 21st century without a latex condom, you're putting yourself at risk for HIV. It's that simple. You know, so
yeah, I was going to say, it has to be that simple. I mean, it's the way that you can contract the disease, so.
But, I mean, but it's like people are saying, well, wow, you know, why me? How did this happen to me? But I guess you really got to know your partner, and I don't know that you ever really know anybody, because people can still lie. So that said, anything other than total protection, and I think when I say total protection, I'm referring to condom use during oral sex and during, vaginal and anal sex. So the whole gamut.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that, or is that like too much?
No, it's true.
Mr. AJ has joined us. Thank you for joining us, Mr. AJ Houston.
Well, I had to put some people to sleep so I could have a piece of show.
We won't even ask how you did that. Have you been listening to the conversation? Do you know, are you up to speed with where we are?
No, I'm not, because one answer had me wondering, did I hear everything I need to hear on what we are talking about? So brief me quickly, please.
Okay, we were just talking about, you know, the fact that, you know, African-Americans make up, you know, a large percentage of the people that are contracting HIV. It's the number one killer of African-Americans between 25 and 44, and 72% of all the new cases are women. 72% are women of color, which is scary. So we talked about that, and we also talked about if you're not having sex with a condom, and that's with oral, anal, or vaginal sex, that you're putting yourself at risk. We talked about other things too. We talked about CDC numbers, and you know the fact that the CDC is just reporting that over 1 million people have HIV, but we really consider it the numbers to maybe be a little higher than that.
Well, I'm definitely in agreement with everything. So yeah.
Okay. Well, then we're ready to get started, guys. I titled the show, and I don't know if y'all necessarily agreed with the title, but it's the title that I thought was most appropriate because really it's the way that I feel. I said that the title would be AIDS, the road leads back to the down low brother, and that is truly my belief. Why do you all believe that HIV has hit the black community so hard?
AJ, I think it's really according to your insight of what you thought of AIDS when it first, you know, when it first became the problem that we see it being now. Because, you know, before there was, the problem was there was a lot of shared needles and a lot of drug use and a lot of transference through different things, and it wasn't, you know, just transference through sex, you know, because first they say a lot of people get it by transference of blood in hospitals, you know, and all the other things. So everything had an anchor or a mainstay of being a source or a reason for AIDS being in the community, and now I just think it's carelessness, you know. It's carelessness regardless if it's a down low brother or somebody that was in prison or somebody that had it. I'm quite sure we have some other people that that we'll call or that should call, that's probably online listening now, that knows somebody that has AIDS. And when that person told them, it was like, man, if I had AIDS, would I be able to tell somebody like that? And I think that's the question that we should all ask ourselves, is that, you know, when there's a problem, you know, a lot of times you get tired of people looking down on you because you tell them what the problem is.
Mm.
So some people might just keep their mouth shut and say, well, if we get close enough, I'll let them know.
Wow. Well, what do you think?
I mean, AD pretty much hit the nail on the head with that one, and that's what I was saying earlier. It's like we had one type of, I wouldn't even say we, there was just a stigma out there how you contract it. You know, if you're not doing drugs, if you're not gay, it's not, you know, going to happen to you. And nowadays, we know that that is definitely not the case. So with misinformation, I think that's what kind of started the whole problem in itself. And then the fear of people actually taking out the time to just, you know, even go to the doctor and find out if they think they got something, now it hurts as well. So
y'all don't think the Down Low Brother has anything to do with that?
I mean, it's a piece of it, but it's definitely not. I wouldn't go to self so far as to say it's a whole, but I think even more so, you know, the pressure of HIV AIDS admittance, and what I mean by that is by somebody saying that they actually have it. You know, let's not forget Magic Johnson.
Okay.
You know, when everybody found out he had it, you had people who didn't want to necessarily play on the same court with this man, even though pretty much it was like, you know, the only way you can get it is if, you know, it was, you know, through sexual contact, and they wasn't trying to hear that. You know, he had a cut, everybody tripping. You know, the weird thing about it to me, I'm still trying to figure out, you know, he got 100+ Burger Kings all over the place and everything now that's still around. And, you know, I'm not even going to get into the whole issue with what medicine is he taking. But, you know, but at that time it was just like, you know, it was totally different. Now, you know, everybody want to kick it with it. They probably want Magic Johnson as a sponsor. They're not even talking about the HIV no more.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Center Stage right here on Blog Talk Radio. Today's topic is AIDS, the road leads back to the Down Low Brother. If you're on the line and have a question or a comment on our topic, press 1. Or if you're listening via the Internet, call us at 347-850-8390 and press 1. We want to remind you that AJ and Kundalini are in the chat room today. So if you're listening via the Internet, go into the chat room and tell us what you think. We'd love to hear from you.
And Carrie, what I was going to say about the download, the question you just asked that Mr. Kundalini just answered, is that I don't take anything away from the people that think that's the cause of the problem, because that is one of the causes now, and that is one of the problems now. But I don't think it has the weight of burden of being the leader of the race.
Hmm. Because, what about the brother who goes to prison for a long stretch and he comes out and he's been in prison being Tarzan by day and Jane by night, but then he comes out of prison and he's all male, and he gets back into the community, and he's sexing 3 and 4 women. Do you all think he has a large role? Which, still, he's a Down Low Brother, but doesn't he have a large part in this as well?
Well, I think, first of all, that should be, you know, I think, first and foremost, we need to let everybody know that there are so many agencies around that give you free testing. There are so many ways to get tested, so get tested and know you're clean, instead of just saying, hey, man, I look at my nails and, you know, I'm good. I don't have to get checked. But I think that's the first thing, and just like you said, the person from prison, I think that's a problem too, and I think there should be some means and method of when men leave prison, regardless of what it is, that's part of them leaving. Is you get this check and you get this yay or nay, you know, yay or nay before you embark on getting back to the outside world.
I hope somebody calls in today and tells us about that, but I think that is the case. I think at some point, either at the point of entry or the point of exit from the penal system, I think you are tested. Is that not correct?
Yeah,
not that I know.
A lot of times, they have a show called Locked Up Raw that comes on MSNBC, and a lot of times they talk about that, how a lot of the prisons have sections that people who are tested for things like HIV and stuff like that that have it. They have a separate section for them, just like they have people that are locked down like 23 hours a day and only get out for an hour. They may or may not associate with what's called the general public. So that situation is definitely something that's taken up within the prison systems. Is it all? I can't say, but I know it's definitely something that they do have. There has to be a testing system for it because they have penal systems or prisons that have sections that are set aside for people that have HIV.
Hmm.
Yeah,
and
but I'm saying I have family that's been in the pen that, and friends that's been in the pen that ain't had no test done at all.
I'm saying
it's not a prerequisite. Maybe there are some systems that do it, and maybe it's according to where you go. I'm saying that should be like a prerequisite for just getting out. Just the same way you went in, get fingerprinted, you get some blood taken.
Yeah, but at the same time, we're not realizing that the prison systems, a lot of them are privately owned. They're owned by families. So that means it's individuals spending money on this, and it's up to – we'd have to look at the system to say, okay, do they have a – is the system set up to where when it's privately owned, say, for example, are they the ones making the decision on whether or not they even want to pay for it?
Yeah, some of them are corporate owned now. And, you know, that's definitely what they've been
trying to do. Some of them are family owned.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, or say this. I also think that the drug user, the person who's the crackhead or whatever you want to call them today, that person holds some responsibility because when you're on drugs, you'll share needles. When you're on drugs, sometimes I've heard from people that when you're on drugs and you need drugs, you'll even sell your body for drugs. That said, that person holds some responsibility in why this has hit the black community so hard.
I think we're going about the show right, but I don't think any petition or any portion bears any more weight than the other. I think when you have a problem, there are just arms to the problem, and everybody's a part of the problem, and I don't think there is. You know, one arm, you know, is a lot stronger than the other. I think that we need to address all the issues and put it out there so everybody would know that there are some things that they need to do and some things that need to get done to actually fight the problem.
Well, you know what? In math problems, isn't it often asked what's the common denominator?
That only works in math.
Okay, no, it doesn't. Because you say, okay,
that only
you
works in math. That does not work with when you have different genders, different sexual preferences, there is no way you're going to tell me that it's possible that we're going to have a common denominator with a disease that does not care what gender or what sexual preference you have.
Let's see. I don't know. The thing is,
it's not like basketball. Like we say, okay, we're just going to deal with men's basketball and in men's basketball, we're dealing strictly with men, and there's some type of absolute. There's no absolute with human beings and diseases.
Okay, you didn't let me finish my point. Okay, if you consider the down low brother to be like the head of the octopus, okay, the head of the octopus is at the top, and all these legs are dangling. Well, if this down low brother is sexing all the legs, he's the common denominator. So that's what I mean when there's a common denominator here.
Okay,
we're talking about aliens then because he's like a four-headed monster because there's a whole lot of heads to the problem.
Okay. Y'all got jokes. Okay.
I'm saying for real. I'm saying no.
That's
not
such a problem. Y'all cracking jokes. I am so serious. That's how I see that.
No, but... But Carrie, I'm not joking. I'm saying there's like a four-headed monster because we talked about some of the things like the Donald brother, the sharing needles and drugs because you have so many programs right now that's attacking that problem because they're just passing out needles. You have other programs that's attacking the problem by passing out condoms. You have all these people that see one part of the problem and they're actually trying to be a solution to that part of the problem. But when there's so many facets of the problem, it's hard for everybody to pinpoint exactly what the head of the octopus is, so it's like it's a four-headed monster. It's those things that we used to see in sci-fi movies.
Okay, well, Okay, one thing I saw in the research for this show is that people kept saying that the black community is homophobic. And I kept seeing that people were saying things like, you know, if we weren't so homophobic in the black community, then gay people could come out and be who they are. Well, every black community I ever lived in, they had a gay guy or they had a lesbian in the community. So I think that blows that myth right out of the water. I mean,
the problem with that statement is the letter A. That's in singular. Let's see how it would happen if there were 50 to 100 or 100 to 500 or 500 to 1,000 within that same community who were walking around the same way. It's easy to say Aunt Peaches, you know, is gay.
But I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you said.
That whole block over there, that whole little community down over there, lemon, blah, 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 that whole entire over there, yeah, that's what that is. That's a whole different situation. Totally looked at, totally different. No different if you have a crackhead in the family. It's all right, you know, they might not say nothing if you got one. But I bet you if you have 20 crackheads in the same family, it ain't going to take long. You're not going to be looked at the same.
But, I mean, but first of all, I guess that's where I'm going with this, is there's always a gay person in your school, in your church, in your neighborhood. There's always one. And so that said, to use that as the excuse why the down low brother is a down low brother does not hold weight to me, because that can't be it. I mean, that can't be it, that he's concerned because the community won't accept him, so therefore he feels the need to sleep with both groups. I just don't know that I want to give him that pass on that situation.
No, I don't think there's a pass for that situation. I'm saying on every local or, you know, nationwide TV show that this conversation has been addressed, you've seen how even the host and other people say, you know, that they didn't think it was fair that you would actually give this facade of being one person when you're not. I'm saying it's even addressed in the Tyler Perry movie Colored Girls, that, you know, this one woman's husband, you know, she finally goes to the doctor and she gets checked, and then she asked him, and she said, well, you know, are you gay? And he said, no, I'm not gay. He said, I'm just a man that likes having sex with other men.
I wonder how large the group is that he represents saying that.
No, that's exactly the point I was getting to, is that how, you know, what kind of consensus did he draw this character that he drew to from the overall population? How many people, you know, have that same, give credence as that's their explanation to themselves?
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Center Stage right here on Blog Talk Radio. Today's topic is AIDS. The road leads back to the down low brother. If you're on the line and have a question or a comment about today's topic, press 1 or call 347-850-8390 if you're listening via the internet. And again, press 1. AJ and Kundalini are in the chat room today, so if you'd like to hit us up via chat and tell us what you think of today's topic, we want to hear from you. Another thing that
Not to cut you off, I was just going to ask you, do you have the chat room open by any chance?
It is open. Were you not able to get in?
No, ma'am. I'll try it again. I was just making sure.
Okay, yeah, you're in, or it is open. Another thing that I saw in researching for the show is a lot of people on the internet kept saying it's a cure out there. They said the government has a cure and that it's all about the pharmaceutical companies. Do y'all really think that that's the case, that this is all really just a situation of the pharmaceutical companies trying to make more money off of this situation?
Well, why would they? I mean, they make money off of everything else. I mean, they've already proven that, even who's the guy that made the movie not too long ago where they were showing about how they had the medicines over here and they're charging like 100-something bucks, but you can go over to Cuba and get the same medicine for like $15.
It Michael Moore or somebody like that?
Something like that. I mean, it's already out there. People already know. Whether or not people want to own up to it is a whole other situation, but we already know that game. I mean, that's not nothing new. We could go back and forth on that one all day.
AJ, you agree with that? AJ Houston, I think AJ is.
I was in the chat room, so I was trying to limit the noise. No, but I agree with it kind of. But I'm saying there has been other leaks of information nationally that there was a cure for AIDS, even though you don't know, you know, what these different entities had, you know, what their, I guess, what their motivation was for putting it out there. And maybe it's the truth and maybe it's not. But see, I'm saying in America, people can say whatever they want to say and people can hide whatever they want to hide. So you have to give credence that there has to be some, I guess, some truth to the fact that they have something to actually combat it more than the drugs they're putting out there. Because the initial drug for AIDS that they're using for AIDS was created by the government, I think, in the 50s or 60s, and that they was going to use it to fight cancer, and it didn't. So they sold it to the pharmaceutical company that's made billions, almost trillions of dollars, of selling it to people to combat AIDS. So there's America never gives up its ability to make money.
My thoughts on that are two. One, I remember when Left Eye from the group TLC went to Honduras, and she was saying that she had a cure, or there was a cure for AIDS, and some guy was going to, I don't know, market it through Left Eye, you know, for the cure for AIDS. Let's just say she never made it back over here. So I don't know if the two are connected, but also we have to be mindful of the fact that the New World Order is taking place as we speak. That said, the New World Order is supposed to reduce the population by 5 billion people. So it would stand to reason that if that be the case, letting the sickest among us just die would be one way that they could reduce the population.
But
now, I don't know if that's the case, but it would stand to reason that if they're really going to reduce the population, how are they going to do it?
But if you go to historical data, you go back and see how America made these treaties with indigenous people of the American population before they started planting flags claiming the country. You know, and they actually passed on smallpox in blankets. And then it was also said that a lot of the AIDS that was taken to Africa was taken over in the polio vaccination, you know, vaccine that was given over there. So there hasn't been anything to say it wasn't, but it really does look like it was.
Really?
So I'm saying, so what you're saying, you know, every time somebody comes up with something that's supposed to be a cure-all, and usually it's something that would, I guess, give a company problems that's making all these billions of dollars, you know, money has been the root of all even America forever. And money has been the reason that a whole lot of people in America are living in the Trinity River right now and all these other places that, you know, that they won't even, you know, what do they do when they go through the river and get the bodies out? Like scrape the river or whatever they do to get the bodies out. They're not even looking for the bodies. It's just missing people.
So you mean like when they drain the water for the bodies?
No, it's like they either scrape it or they have something that they do to go and find people. But, you know, I'm saying, because I'm originally from Dallas, and the Trinity was always said that when people came up missing, they're in the Trinity. And it was like an ongoing joke. But every joke has some part of truth in it.
Mm.
So just the thing you said about Left Eye, you know, if, you know, a lot of people probably didn't know that was even said that Left Eye was, you know, had talked to somebody that had a cure or whatever. And that's really a proponent of people coming up missing is when you finna mess with somebody billions or somebody trillions of dollars and you think it's going to be just an easy thing to do. It's not. Not
mm-hmm.
here. Not in this great American country.
Go ahead.
No, it's also not in.
Okay. Let me say this. I feel like the church has some responsibility in all of this because the church, for whatever reason, has never had this comfort level, I think, about talking about, you know, practicing safe sex or you know, they really don't even push abstaining anymore. They just kind of stay away from the topic. And recently the Pope said that he was really kind of like endorsing condoms because he was saying that the epidemic with, you know, HIV is just something that the Catholic Church cannot any longer just stay away from. They got to address it. And so that said, should the Black Church be talking more about, you know, you can't stop people from having sex. You know, you can tell them about abstaining, but should they be mentioning condom use and protect yourself if you're not going to abstain?
Karen, you remember, what, about 4 weeks ago, there was this lady on the radio show. She said they'd start a petition because he was trying to get churches to move out of her community in New York because they weren't doing anything.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and see, that's part of the thing is the black church was always the only place that black men could be men before. Mm. You know, we added that other two-fifths to make us a whole American. But the thing is the church does have a responsibility in our communities for more than that. But you have, you know, churches that are on the $100 offerings and churches that are on all these other things as far as them just being a church and not being in the controversial issues. So that's part of what they're trying to stay away from because it's easy to say you're doing something when you're not doing something even though you're not approaching those issues. You're not in the controversial realm. And churches that are, you always hear about them, and you always see something happen to them.
Kundalini, what do you think?
I mean, I don't necessarily look at it from a standpoint like any one religion should be responsible for it. I think that their whole goal is to benefit, you know, the good, you know, the greater good of mankind or humankind, I should say, whatnot. Any of them should be responsible to make mention of it because it affects. A disease is not witness to men or mankind's decision making on what they choose to believe in or agree in as far as when it comes to a particular deity or a belief system. It's a disease. It affects a Muslim just as well as it can affect a Christian. It can affect a Christian as well as it can affect a Jew. It can affect a Jew as well as it affects a Buddhist. And even those various religions have their own different agreements, just like, you know, Islam has its own particular degrees when it comes to marriage, just as Judaism and Christianity have their own particular, you know, marriage when it comes to marriage. You know, they all have their different degrees in those systems. So it's going to affect them all. So any one of them, if they're serious about the greater good, they should be at least talking about it, whether or not the issue probably would come into fact that their faith would probably be figured whether or not they're condoning activity prior to marriage, because that's usually the big issue, is they don't want to condone marriage prior to. Unfortunately, though, even just like with the issue we're discussing with the Down Low Brother, that's a situation where they, in some cases, they are married, and they're down low. That's the whole point of it. So, you know, should it be discussed? Of course it should, but it shouldn't be relevant to any one religion. I don't think it. I think all of them need to be discussing that issue. And I do also want to say this, going just real quick back to the issue you're talking about, the medical people as far as whether or not they're covering up a cure or whatnot. I don't know if anyone who's listening or even if you guys might have heard about it, but I know I've seen a TV show maybe about a good 4 to 6 weeks ago where they did a whole entire documentary about them about scientists getting together and discovering how to actually make a DNA makeup of the smallest known cell, which happened to be the same bacteria that causes urinary infection. And they actually took all the basic elements of making up DNA, the four basic elements, used these elements, and about a good maybe 8 to 10 scientists, I believe it was, all came together. It took them a couple of years, but they came up with a way where they actually can make the bacteria. So if they can document all of that and make an actual bacteria from its actual DNA makeup, what makes people think that they don't have a way to actually take that same information and apply that to various diseases like AIDS or HIV and other diseases that are out there in attempts to find a cure and that it's not going on? I don't understand.
Well, now I think that would lead to the initial question that would probably be the ending question of the show. And just, you know how you end with a question, just leave everybody hanging? I think the question would be, where did AIDS come from?
Good question. Where did AIDS come from? You know, it was said that it was the monkey. The African man was having sex with a monkey. And then we heard that it was a gay white male disease. So how did it start?
I'm under the belief, just like that. I think just like the Tuskegee incident, to where they started injecting black men with syphilis to see the long term effect of syphilis.
Hmm.
I'm saying the country has never been short on trying something out when they created it just to see how it works. You know, it's like a nuclear bomb. Hey, we got a nuclear bomb. Let's see what it does.
Mm-hmm.
and then say, okay, we're not going to use it again. And I think that AIDS had to be lab created because of the way it breaks the system down, because of that immune deficiency that it creates. So it had to be something that was created in the lab to see if it works. I don't know if it was some type of, you know, war attempt that they were going to say, well, will this work in war or what? But I'm quite sure it was created somewhere in some lab somewhere, even though they probably destroyed the lab by now.
Okay.
Yeah.
But even in addition, going back to what you were saying about the nuclear bombs, let's just look at something recent, like the whole thing with North Korea and South Korea, where they said, well, you know, we were actually testing out the missiles, keyword, testing it out, and we meant to shoot it. We were shooting it to the west. We weren't shooting it at them. These things, you know, it's like they already know what's going on. These are practices that they're already doing. It might not be public awareness, but when it comes down to it, they have to. They already own up to it. All right, there's all this extra stuff going on. Just no different than I don't know if you remember, Carrie, a few weeks back when we found that article about, we were talking about the weather machine.
Mm-hmm.
We found that article where the United Nations made a declaration where they were saying, okay, it's officially illegal that nobody can make weather machines, which means somebody out there is actually out there making weather machines and putting it out there, and they was like, no, you can't do that. So there's stuff out there going on, and it's not everyday public awareness, but at the same time, it's out there. So we can't keep acting like, you know, just because you don't see it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. No different than people ask the question like, okay, if a tree falls in a forest, does it still make a sound? The question is, just because humans aren't there to hear it, what about the squirrels? You know, what about the other people, the insects and everybody else that live in the forest? Sound can still be heard. Just because we don't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Let me make a statement. First of all, I see the phone lines are jammed, and that's great. But why is it on a subject like this, nobody says anything? I don't know what it is about the black community. Have we become too comfortable with this this virus where we don't look at it necessarily as a death sentence anymore? So, therefore, it's like, what's the big deal? You know, hey, y'all get over it. We're talking about something else now because, you know, it's not killing folks in 30 days anymore. Is that what's happening with the black community?
No, I think the problem is we are truly reactionary people, and we've been that way since the marches on Washington from Selma.
Mm.
We've just been reactionary. And when something happens, everybody will band together like the Gina Six and all these other incidents. When somebody makes it a cause, we rally to the cause. And this is something that's going on, so nobody want to make it a cause because it's like, okay, well, everybody knows what's going on, and, you know, I've donated $10. I called the number and donated my $5, or I texted the number and donated my $10. And I think we think helping is all these little things that we think we do monetarily, or, you know, like saving the children overseas where you donate, you know, $5 a month or whatever, and you get a little picture. And I think that's what we think help is now. We're never the hands-on. It's almost like networking. Everybody has a fake name, a fake ID, a fake picture, and they're whoever they want to be online, and they would text whatever, and they can be themselves on or really who they want to be. So in causes, we do the same thing. We don't participate face-to-face. We just participate in monetary donations or send a letter or sign a petition, and we feel like, oh, I helped. But we need to. It's a hands-on thing we need to do now.
See, I listened to someone else's show, Blizzard Show, this week, and I was surprised. A guy by the name of Mike called in, and Mike was probably more honest than anybody else who called in on that phone line. And Mike said something that was totally shocking, but I know he represented a whole group, and there's no telling how large that group is. He said, "I don't have protected sex because I don't sleep with those kind of women. I don't sleep with the kind of women who have AIDS." And I thought, wow. And then Mike went on to say that he wasn't going to live his life in fear, you know, and that he didn't necessarily want to get the disease, but he said if he did, it wasn't a death sentence. So they asked Mike, had Mike been tested? And Mike said, no, I haven't been tested. Like I told you, I'm not going to live my life in fear. So do you think Mike makes up a large group in the black community where men and women are just thinking just like Mike thinks?
I mean, but then I would have to, I mean, they, it's funny to me that people never take the extra step to ask other questions that might lead to his way of thinking.
Okay.
Let's just say, for example, if he was let's just say he's a religious person, he's a Christian or a Muslim, and he has his faith in God or whatnot, and his faith is that God is going to protect him. That might be, in a lot of ways, confusing for people, and yet at the same time, looking at as far as at his faith, confusing in the fact that maybe from a religious standpoint, based on his belief, if that's what he was to believe in, that he's not supposed to have sex before marriage, so therefore he's already in violation. On the flip side, it might be a situation where somebody looks at it like, wow, this man has a lot of faith in God to be like that. So, you know, to just come at it and say, you know, where he's coming at with it, we would have to investigate, you know, where is his foundation that he's so secure with this situation of saying fear or fear? What is this fear factor that he's talking about in his head? Because everybody doesn't have the same idea of fear. Some people are scared of being in the dark. Some people are scared of being in a closed room. You know, everybody's idea of a fear is not the same. So, you know, we have to definitely take him as an individual first. And then going back to your question as well, is does he represent a lot of people out there? Of course he does, because there's a lot of people out there that are, you know, foolishness runs rampant and fools rush in where wise men never go. So at the same point in time, there's a bunch of people out there that are doing stuff that really, when they think about it, it doesn't really make any sense, and it's good to say it, but it doesn't really make sense when you set out the time to think about it. So just because he's going out there and setting up their situation and saying, well, I'm not, you know, I'm not going to live my life in fear. Yeah, but at the same time, while you're living, you still have some type of fear, because then you're saying, well, but if I get it, it's not a death sentence. No, you can't be one or the other. You either don't fear that you're going to get it, you don't think you're going to get it, or you have some type of fear, but you want to put yourself in a position where you say, I'm not really going to make it a concern of mine. I'm not going to put it on the front line and make it, you know, my life that I'm just going to be scared to do it. I'm going to do what I want to do. And that in itself should be scary enough. Because
but see, they asked Mike quite a few questions. Everybody thought Mike was the dumbest guy on the line, but I thought actually Mike was just being truthful. And he probably was more people on the line.
That's the thing. Just because you're being truthful does not mean you're being foolish. A man sitting in a prison admitting that he killed over 100 people is not necessarily the best thing going on just because you're being truthful about it.
No, but what I'm saying is that the Mike was just, you know, they said, you know, they asked him a question and he just told them the answer. And I think what I learned from listening to Mike is that Mike said, you know, if a woman asked, when they asked Mike, they said, if a woman asked you, have you been tested? Mike said if he thought it was an issue, he'd tell him, yeah, I've been tested. You know, so that raised the question, like, wow, you know, we really got to think about this thing because Mike was just saying what he thought, but at the same time, it was scary to realize that he represented a group of God knows how many people who are having unprotected sex, think they can determine who has AIDS and who doesn't have AIDS. And so, therefore, he said he's never been tested. And he didn't see any need to be tested, which to me, Mike's a scary fella, but he was truthful.
That brings full circle to, you know, that we have people out here thinking they know what AIDS look like.
And I would like for someone, anyone, I challenge anyone who knows what the face of AIDS looks like to please call in and tell us, because I am so ignorant, I don't know. Please tell us what the face of AIDS looks like. I don't know. Do y'all know?
What does the face of AIDS look like?
How can you tell someone has AIDS? Because, you know, so many people say, I don't fool with men or I don't fool with women who have AIDS. So how do you know what AIDS looks like? What does the face of AIDS look like?
I don't know. That's an interesting thought process that we as humans have. We tend to associate diseases with a look, and I haven't seen anybody that can tell me what a cold looks like. So I mean, I don't know. I know what consequences you can get from a cold. You might start coughing or sneezing, but I ain't never seen no person walking down the street and be like, look at him, he looked like he got a cold.
It just, you know, we got a weird way of pointing things out when it comes to different topics. So I don't know. I don't know what that one is.
AJ, do you know? Because I don't. You brought it up. I don't. Do you?
No, I'm saying that's why I brought it up, because I think it's a shame that people would have a discussion as though they know what something looks like or what something is supposed to act like, or, you know, and that's what we go by. Or we go by the systematic things that we see on TV, and, you know, because we are really students of television. Mm. TV can teach us everything we ever knew about everything. Mm. It don't have to be true, but they can teach us, and that's what we go by. And I brought that question up because I think it's a shame that so many people aren't being tested. I'm saying if you even have an inkling and you say, I ain't been tested in 5 years, go get tested, because knowing is power. You know, it's like they say knowledge is power, and that's part of knowledge, especially in this day and time. There's some things you need to know about yourself.
I talked to my friend Boomerang today, and Boomerang made a very good point. He says, by the time you can see what AIDS look like, it's too late.
Yeah, no, it's on you.
I mean, he was saying that you think you can look at it and tell if you've been with that person, by the time you realize what it looked like, that, you know, it's on you.
You're looking in the mirror, then.
Hello.
Hell yeah. I was going to say this, too, just a real quick note. If they want to make an effort, to make a conscious effort for people to talk about it, because just like AJ made the point about making a movement, mm-hmm. all they got to do, the same way they require, like, the NBA and the NFL and all them people to wear suits or whatever and look a certain way, mm-hmm. see what happens if they require all of them to get an HIV test and see what happens.
All what people?
All the ones that play sports.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Like they mandatory drug test them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guarantee you we'll be talking about it the first minute they find that it's more than one, which is definitely potentially a possibility. You know, we don't talk about nothing until it seems like it's a potential that is going to affect us, because then all of a sudden everybody's going to start playing a role. Oh, that person's not a role model. Oh, this, I mean, look at how they mashed on Magic Johnson. They mashed on him. You know, it was everything. Now it's, you know, nobody saying nothing. It's all playing in the background, like I said before. But when it was all out in the front, he came out with his wife and told everybody this is what it was, man. I remember being in school. It was a talk. It was just the talk of the whole next, like, month. Just, man, Magic got AIDS. Man, Magic got HIV for real? Magic? You know, same way with Eazy-E, you know, as a rapper, when he died from HIV. You know, or die from AIDS, rather. As soon as they find out that it's potentially possible that somebody of that magnitude can get it, then it becomes like, oh, it is possible that the regular everyday person can get it, because look at them. They make hundreds of thousands of dollars doing what they do, so it must be possible that somebody around here could get it.
Well, you would think in a situation of sports, those guys have got to be insured. So you would think of that when they're getting these, like, high-dollar insurance policies, that they would have to be blood tested. So maybe the reason some of these guys are retiring is because they don't want to come out and tell us.
Well, see, the thing is, you can insure your hair. Now, you can insure your hair, your legs, your arms, your hand. You can insure everything, but you can't insure your blood.
No, not insure the blood, meaning that when you go to get...
I'm just saying that when you look at, like, Palomalo for Pittsburgh, he has $1 million insurance on his hair.
Mm.
I'm saying, so all these people are insuring different parts, but I'm saying when it comes to blood, I'm saying we're all common. That's the point I'm trying to make. We're all common. You can't insure blood. You can't change your blood.
Okay. So, I just thought it was peculiar that when you're getting these high-dollar insurances that they wouldn't test you but for the virus. I don't know. I'm just asking. I don't know. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Center Stage right here on Blog Talk Radio. Today's topic is AIDS, the road leads back to the Down Low Brother. If you're on the line and have a question or a comment about today's topic, press 1. Or if you're listening via the Internet, dial us up at 347-850-8390. And again, press 1. AJ and Kundalini are in the chat room today. If you're listening via the Internet, go into the chat room and tell us what you think about today's topic. You know, I had a question that puzzled me this week, and I was hoping that one of the ladies that has done a previous show here on Center Stage that are living with AIDS could call in and tell us the answer to this. And I'm very, very curious to know, can someone with HIV truly have sexual encounters with people who don't have HIV and not transmit the disease?
Magic Johnson.
That's what?
Magic Johnson.
That's if we believe magic. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, the conspiracy theory on the internet is like Magic Johnson doesn't even have AIDS anymore. So, okay, let's take him out of
the... Okay, but there's a difference in between anymore, keyword anymore, which means you have to previously have it.
I don't know.
Think about that, because you're saying anymore. Let's use deductive reasoning here. In order to say anymore, that means at some point in time, they had to have it, and they don't have it anymore or any longer. We have to look at these words that are being used.
Okay, let's just say, though, taking him out of the equation.
Mm.
Okay. Let's just turn it around. Would you have sex with someone who had HIV?
On purpose?
If you
do. I mean, that's a key phrase. I mean, on purpose? Like, do I know that this person has it, or I don't know?
You know.
Okay, if I know, man, I ain't even finna lie to you. That'll be I wouldn't plan on it, you know what I'm saying? But I mean, there's a lot of things that could come with that situation as far as scenario. So I'm human. I don't know, you know what I'm saying? I couldn't say without being in that situation. My first thought would be nah. But you know, you never know what kind of situation you're gonna be in with anybody. I mean, what if you just like the people who are married and they find out, you know, somebody's been sleeping around and they catch HIV or AIDS, and then you're with that person, you know, and then going back to faith and whatnot, do you give up on that person, or do you give them an opportunity for forgiveness, or do you kill it because now you got this situation where you're dealing with AIDS the same way? You know, look at so many women especially who have men who are going outside of the marriage or outside of, you know, their agreement of how they're going to handle their relationship and wind up in a situation with that, and now they, you know, regardless of the situation, what's happened with them as far as getting quote-unquote cheated on or whatnot, they still continue to be with these men. So I don't know, you know, at the end of the day, but my first thought is to say no. That's my first initial thought. No, if I know better, mm-mm. But being human, you don't know what situations you're going to be in that are going to make you take second thoughts like that. And but no, like on purpose, first thought, no, I'm good.
AJ?
But Carrie, why don't you tell the story first that you told us earlier,
okay,
and then I'll give my answer.
So there was two stories. Kundalini and I debated y'all almost an hour on this. I'm sorry?
Just tell a second about the story that's similar to what we're talking about now.
Both stories, because it can kind of all tie together. First of all, there was the situation you told me about today. They are living with HIV, and they said they go to a group where they share stories and, you know, pretty much like a support group. And one lady in the group said that whenever she has sex, she doesn't tell the person she's having sex with that she's HIV positive. She said, you know, she just tells them to use a condom. But one of the other ladies in the group said, hey, that's not right. You should tell them, you know, that you have the virus. And she says, no, I'm not going to. So that was the first lady. And then the second lady, I talked to Boomerang, and I told him to call in if he can, but he's traveling. But he's going to try to touch bases with us before the end of the show. But this is Boomerang's story. Boomerang likes fast, or used to like fast girls. He's happily married now, but he used to like fast girls. And he liked this stripper who was very beautiful and very nice figure in the whole nine yards. Anyway, Boomerang pursued her like crazy, and, you know, Boomerang's tall, good-looking guy, and he's pursuing her, and she's just not having it. And so she would be nice to him, but she'd always push him off. And he couldn't figure out, like, why is this happening? So after about 5 months, they go out. And so he's trying to figure out, you know, why can't I get past where I'm at? And so she says to him, and I got the story wrong when I told it to Kundalini earlier, but this is what actually happened. She said to him, so what do you think of people who have HIV or AIDS? She said, would you eat behind someone who had HIV and AIDS? They were out to dinner. And he was like, hell no. You know, wow. He said, hell no. And so she was like, wow. And she said, you know, I got HIV. And he said he was so hurt because he felt like he hurt her. And he said, you know, what he knows about Kim, that he liked her so much that he probably would have looked at it differently had he known that that was the case of her having the virus. So that said, Kundalini and I debated a lot, a long time today, about who was right and who was wrong in that situation with the women. But that said, would you have sex with someone with HIV? AJ.
And now my answer.
I'm sorry, we didn't hear you.
So
what was your answer?
No, I wanted you to say that. I wanted you to tell those stories before I answer, because you had asked me and Kundalini, would you have sex with somebody if you knew they had AIDS? And I'm saying I think everybody would answer no. But I just wanted those stories out there because to put on everybody's mind that they don't know who they're having sex with if they don't ask if they hadn't been tested.
That's true.
Because the answer would automatically be no, but you really don't know, because just like you say, the one lady that has AIDS is not telling people, hey, put a condom on and, you know, we finna go.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I think that should be the first stage of fear, is that you need to know who you're talking to first, and know a whole lot before you even go to the sex part.
So that brings up another question then. How long should you know someone before you have sex? I mean,
well, do they have a card? Do they have a card stamp?
I don't know, and I'm just asking point blank, how long do you date someone before you have sex?
Now, you understand, Kudalene, you understand what I'm saying, right?
I didn't get it anyway.
You didn't get it.
Y'all got jokes. No, y'all got
jokes.
No, that was about it.
AJ, you on fire today. That's all I can say about it.
Whatever.
But that ain't no joke.
That wasn't
you
a joke.
No, it's not at all. He basically means, like, do you know when they finna die?
Okay.
No, I'm saying, you know, when is the last they've been tested when? What does the stamp say? You know, was it last week they've been tested when?
You know what I'm saying? And that's your answer. You're sticking to it. AJ? Okay, what is wrong with AJ's phone today, y'all? Kundalini.
Yes,
so,
ma'am.
How long should you wait before having?
I don't give no times on stuff like that. Like, you know, ain't no time. You feel it? You need to ask. You need to ask. If something inside you say you need to ask, you need to man up. I mean, I don't know you. If your life is worth a time limit on figuring out when you need to ask questions like that, you know. All I can say for you is whatever background, religious background you need to sit in a room, dark, and fold your legs and pray about it or something. Because if you can sit just like we having this conversation now and talk about this, but you can't ask them type of questions, this is not the life for you.
But see, it sounds like to me that you would engage in a jump-off situation.
I said what?
I said, it sounds like, not, I don't know, but it sounds like you would engage in a jump-off situation.
You said I would or I would not?
You would.
That I would engage in a jump-off situation?
It sounds like, based on what you just said, there is no time limit, that you would engage in a jump-off situation. That's what that just sounded like.
If I'm saying there ain't no time limit on when you should ask that question, as far as engaging in a jump off, first of all, you have to realize you're asking the question of if they have HIV before you.
Oh, no. We moved on from that question. I'm lost.
Are you the lost?
Oh, I'm sorry. No. Just how long should you wait before you have sex with someone? Not necessarily. No, we didn't move on from the H. Y'all have established that y'all are not going to have the, you know, sex with people.
I thought that was a question, like, how long should you wait before you ask whether or not, you know, you should bring that topic up?
No, I didn't.
Are you talking about how long by using a watch or a calendar?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, when you're saying, now, if you're saying how long you should wait till you have sex, I mean, that's relative to each individual. Some people are going to do jump off. Some people are going to try to build a relationship with that person. But, I mean, if it's coming down to the issue of the, you know, whether or not they have a disease, you need to be talking about that. If you man enough to be able to talk about, you know, having sex, you should be able to be man enough to talk about the possible potential diseases, because it's real. You know what I'm saying? I have that type of conversation, so I don't know what everybody else be doing, but, you know, I take my life real serious, so.
Okay, cool. AJ, I think your phone dropped when we first asked.
Okay, no, I'm saying, I think, you know, when you say how long, you know, because a lot of times people have nice watches, so are you talking about time on the watch or time on the calendar where they're marking off days?
Yeah, so
but,
sell it. Mm, okay.
No,
wait, how long,
no,
JJ?
Honestly, I'm with him. I'm saying there's no specific time, and there's no, you know, you don't have a little map in your planner saying, okay, I've known this person for this long. I don't really think there's a time, because every person, when you meet somebody, it's the connection that you have. But see, what we're talking about right now is even when you have that connection, you need to say, okay, let me see your card. See if your card is stamped. When is the last time you've been tested? You know, let's see if you've been tested.
Right. Pause. I mean, like, you know, breathe and make sure that you know what you're dealing with. That's
exactly
all I'm saying. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Center Stage right here on Blog Talk Radio. Today's topic is AIDS. The road leads back to the down low, brother. If you're on the line and have a question or a comment about today's topic, press 1. Or if you're listening via the Internet, dial us up at 347-850-8390. And, again, press 1. AJ and Kundalini are in the chat room today. So if you're listening via the Internet, go into the chat room and tell us what you think about today's topic. That leads me to the question. Some people say that you can't contract AIDS from having sex with a person one time. Is that a myth?
What?
I believe it is.
What?
I'll start off. I believe it is. I believe that's just, that's stupid. I'm sorry, that borderlines on stupidity. So I think any time
five. Can't use that word.
Say what? Say what?
You can't use that word.
You can't what?
I said you can't use that word, stupid.
Okay. Kundalini and I have a word that we can't use, and that's stupidity or stupid. Okay, so let's just say that's crazy, y'all. If you haven't sex and you think that you can't catch it from, like, you know, one time, you're wrong. And that's for Dr.
Carrie.
But I don't know, what do y'all
think? How many people have gotten pregnant after having sex the first time? You can't get pregnant after the first time. And that is definitely fine. That's be a false.
Okay, so we in agreement. And Kundalini, can they get pregnant? I mean, I'm sorry, I'm on it. I'm on AJ's scenario.
Hey, why you gotta ask me? Can you get pregnant? What's that all about?
No, I'm sorry. I was still on AJ's scenario. No, can you contract HIV from having sex with somebody just one time?
I mean, as far as to my knowledge, the answer would be ding, yes.
But you know, I think I heard somebody on the other show say, "Oh man, you can't get no, you know, HIV from having sex with somebody from, you know, one time." I thought, "Are you kidding, dude?" But
okay,
that just
then
shows
I've got $5,000 that I don't got to have them try it.
You'll put it on it. Okay, let's go to the phone lines. Here you go, 404. You're on Center Stage. Good afternoon.
Oh, how you doing?
How you doing?
I'm all right. I've just been chilling out here in Atlanta, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people out there, you know. You know,
in Atlanta?
It's real crazy about Atlanta, you know, how things are in Atlanta, you know, the type of people that are with in Atlanta, you know, who do certain things in Atlanta, you know.
What do they do? Tell us what they do in Atlanta. We all live in Dallas.
Well, I mean, they do all type of things with any and everybody, you know.
So, I understand, I hear the term is very moist in Atlanta. Have you heard that term?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
That's true. It's any and every old thing coming out of Atlanta, you know. You know, people are sad, you know. That's
see, people say, and if you live in Atlanta, I'm just going to say this, and I'm not talking about you, but people say that all guys from Atlanta and D.C. are suspect. Because it's like the chocolate gay cities of the U.S.
I mean, it's true with me, but it's the black people who are, you know, it's the black people, you know, black guys, men, mainly.
Really? So when you go to the club or you go to the gas station or you go to church, are they looking at you like they want to just come over and lick your, like, face or something?
Oh, and you say I'm funny. You say I'm trying to be funny. Okay.
I don't know what those type of people do. You know what I'm saying? Cause, you know what I mean? I'm on a, you know what I mean? But, I mean, you know, they do what they do.
They do
I wouldn't know, but.
So what would you say the percentage of gay people to straight people in Atlanta is? I mean, so just so the rest of us who don't know will know before we land in Atlanta what the situation is.
So my guys.
Yeah, give us to say guys, yeah.
So am I my own synopsis or, you know?
Yeah. I'm sure there's probably no exact number, but just tell us what you think.
I would say about 85%.
Ooh, ouch. Wow. Lord,
I'm my
I got a question for the guy calling in about Bonnie Chance, because I have a question. Are you of African American descent, Bonnie Chance?
I'm sorry?
Are you of African American descent? Are you black?
No, well, I mean, I'm not American descent. I'm African.
Okay.
And
so you migrated to Atlanta from
Go ahead.
I'm sorry?
You migrated to Atlanta from where?
I come from Nigeria.
Oh, you came from
Nigeria. I was born and raised in America, but, you know, I'm not from here, per se, you know.
Okay, so with that being said, with you being from Nigeria, how do most of your counterparts, because I know a lot of Nigerians here in Dallas, how do your counterparts and the other Nigerians in that culture in your area, how do y'all feel about that situation there in Atlanta?
I mean, I can't speak to anybody else. I mean, we just don't pay no attention. We don't even say anything about it. We don't make reference about it. We don't, not too many people that I know really too much really associate with those type of people. You know, we stay with our own people. We have our own associations. So, I mean,
now,
it's not like
we're associating with those type of people. What do you mean by that?
I mean, back in Africa, I mean, yeah, you know what I'm saying? They'll chop you up. You know what I'm saying? They'll hunt you down.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? But you know what I'm saying? Like, around here, you know what I mean? We don't really too much really associate with American people, point blank, period. You know, so, I mean, I'm just being honest.
Well, then let me spin off of that question then. That said, you just said out of your own, you know, belief system that there's about 85% gay people, gay males in Atlanta. That means that, you know, some bosses, some preachers, you know, some teachers are all, you know, kind of going to be in that pool. So how can you not associate with them? I mean, they're everywhere you go at 85%. I don't know. I'm just asking. Did the boards go blank again? Caller, are you there? Caller, are you there?
I think we lost him, but that's a good question to ask if it's such a major percentage. Like I noticed he said, you know, we stay to our own, and okay, yeah, where they do that at, and you in a whole city full of people like that, you know, it's like, you know, it would be interesting to see, you know, not only from that instance, but as far as, like, cultures and dealing with their nationalities and whatnot.
There's a call. So, Colin, did you hear the question? You know, it's kind of hard if you got 85% of anything to stay away from it. So, how do you get around? Because I would think, though, if you got like 85% of gay guys all around you, that some of them aren't going to be bold enough to hit on you. I don't care how macho you look.
No, I'm saying 85% because those are the people on the down low. People, you know, saying that you know, saying. Suspect, would you say? I would say 85%, including those people. I would say all of Atlanta gay, to be honest with you. I'm just keeping one.
Okay,
if you ever talk to any black homosexual around here, he would tell you.
Now that's the caller's words, not mine. I'm sorry.
Right.
Let me ask this question. I lost my question now, golly. That one threw me off. I must admit. Okay.
Did somebody go outside?
Yeah, I'm outside walking. I'm at the bus stop.
Okay.
Oh, okay, that's
what's up. But you're down there. How do you say the number is 5%? Because I would think 85%. Are you referring to people who look gay?
I mean, you have, you know, seeing like transsexual prostitutes paying bills, having apartments, cars, and they don't have no jobs, but they're prostitutes. Who's fucking these people? I'm just curious.
Oh, so you think the down low people are funding the transvestites?
They fucking any old thing now. They fuck each other. They fuck fat women, skinny women, all type of things.
We have Christian show. Okay, and I get that. So that's. Guys, do y'all have any more questions from Colin before?
Is there a hurricane? Is there a hurricane somewhere?
No, it's hail out here, Mike.
He's outside catching the wind. But thank you so much, caller.
All right, love y'all. Bye.
Okay, love you back.
Appreciate it, man. Make sure you call back.
That's very interesting that Atlanta, and I've heard Atlanta and D.C., that is I told Kundalini the other day that I'd heard the term moist, and he goes, what's that? Well, for those of you who don't know what moist is, kind of like Kundalini didn't, that means that the area is very gay. So that's the
term
that they use.
I'm proud to say that I wasn't supposed to know what that meant. You know what I'm saying? I'm proud of it. I wasn't supposed to know what that meant.
It's
I'm
more
cool.
in the know than AJ and Kundalini. But that's what I heard about.
I welcome you to that party.
I believe somebody, three of y'all, claim that that's what that term means. Because moist, I've heard everywhere else is. It's
I'm
just like you do moist, like, you know, trying to
I'm
make your body
moist. Yeah, that's why I said I'm proud I didn't know that, but I'm good.
They said that on another show. Listen, okay, we're going to go back to
wrong.
The phone lines. Area code 111. Good afternoon. Welcome to Center Stage.
We're not bringing
Hi, is that me?
The show's here. It was wrong.
Hi, say what? Good afternoon.
How are you guys doing today?
Fine, how are that's you?
Good.
Would you like
Thanks.
To weigh
I'm
in
doing
on today's
well,
topic?
Thank you. Yes, I'm interested in the topic. I also do a show. My program's called Truth Be Told Radio, and this week on Wednesday, which was World AIDS Day, we did a special, a three-hour special on this very subject, so I thought I'd call up and share my insights with you.
Tell us some of the things that you heard on your show that were shocking to you. Tell us the shocking stuff first.
The shocking stuff is that HIV equaling AIDS is an absolute fraud. There is no science to prove that HIV is this virus that kills everyone and is the reason for the people dying. So here's the short and skinny. Mm-hmm. These people are told they have an HIV virus through an HIV test. Now, what is an HIV test? Well, you would think that an HIV test tests for HIV, right?
Right.
Well, it doesn't test for that at all. Actually, what it tests for is a series of proteins and antibodies, and they can't even show us an actual picture of this HIV virus. So we had Dr. Peter Duesberg, a leading virologist from the University of Berkeley, ask this simple question. Where can we see the sciences that backs the fact that HIV equals AIDS? Well, we also have the co-discoverer of AIDS, Dr. Luc Montagnier, talking about this very subject. We had several people call up my show saying, you know, I was diagnosed in 1999 with HIV. They told me I had 6 months to live and that I was going to die if I didn't get on my medication right away.
Mm-hmm.
They then gave this poor lady AZT, a deadly toxin, a chemotherapy reject drug, okay, a drug they wouldn't even give to cancer patients for chemotherapy.
Wow.
They start dosing her. She went from having mild health issues after complications from a pregnancy to getting drastically worse and worse until she realized that she had been lied to, that she was being poisoned, that she wasn't taking control of her health. And she realized this, and what did she do? She got off of the medication. Now, 10 years later, she's back in full health, and many others have the same story to tell. There's a lot of great films on this. And I know this might be contrary to what your listeners and you may be aware of with the AIDS issue, but I guarantee from the bottom of my heart that if you keep an open mind and you look into this, you will save lives and do more good than you could ever do raising money for the HIV equals AIDS fraud.
Really? Okay, so I guess I'm So you're saying what exactly, for those lay people that lost, you lost his back. You're not saying that HIV does not exist, are you? You're not saying that, right?
Well, HIV exists in a sense, but it's not a deadly virus that causes AIDS. There's no such thing as a retroactive virus that kills us all. In fact, what HIV is still up to be determined. They don't have any conclusive data showing the connection between the two.
Well, is that why when people seem to die of AIDS, they never say they died of AIDS, they say they died of complications from AIDS?
Yeah, that's exactly right. People die of pneumonia. They die of malnutrition. And what happened was in Africa, they couldn't even afford the testing that was looking for the proteins in antibody, not HIV. Okay, the testings that were not even looking for the HIV, they couldn't even afford those testings. So what they came up with was what was called the Bengui test. And the Bengui test basically said that if you were coughing, you were losing a lot of weight, or if you had any of these 30 symptoms, that then you were considered an AIDS patient, whether or not there was any science or test to back that up or not. Just based on that criteria of symptoms, you're then considered to be an AIDS patient.
Wow. So what else did you learn that we would be surprised by? God, that's amazing.
Well, there's a lot of different things to look into this and ask questions about. One of the questions you have to ask yourself is why they're going after certain races and certain groups of people. And they don't do this by using this HIV as a virus that only goes after different ethnic groups. They do this by offering testing in poor areas, in the ghettos, in the low-income housing, and by going after Africa, where people are already suffering from malnutrition. They're already suffering from other issues, not having access to clean water and good food and these things. But yet they have the nerve to poison these people. Now, what they've done to children is absolutely sick. We have a story of an orphanage in New York in the 1990s.
Wait, is there something going on with your background?
No, that's not me, ma'am.
Is that you?
I do hear it, though.
Okay, that's not you. Is there someone else that needs to mute their background? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, it's somebody else probably. But nonetheless, there's a story of an orphanage that I have posted from one of the guests that came on the special. And I'll be happy to share any of the links and stuff in case you're interested so you can follow up on some of this stuff so you don't have to just take my word for it, because I urge people to make up their own minds. You know, it's important to be open-minded and to really look at the issue without having your emotions get in the way. And I know this might be a difficult topic for a lot of people because we've been told our whole lives that this is this virus, and we want to help people. None of us want people to be sick, so of course we're going to be affected by the story, okay? Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, they played on our emotions, and they lied to us about this, all the while poisoning people and poisoning children. What they did at this orphanage is absolutely sick. They took these kids away from their parents. The parents were refusing to give their children drugs that were killing the kids, essentially, with all sorts of deadly toxic side effects. And they put them in these orphanages, and if the kids wouldn't take the drugs themselves, they would shove a tube down their throats and put the medication in. And if they couldn't do it that way, they would cut open into their stomachs and put a gastric bypass tube into the children's stomach to force the drugs on these children, these poor
children.
So
are these children that had HIV?
These were children who had supposedly, okay,
HIV.
And this will take you a while to get used to, but they supposedly had this HIV, which is a virus killing them.
Wow. Okay, caller, if you would, hit us up at our email at centerstageradio@yahoo.com. We'd love to read the information that you're talking about.
Let me share a few quick references for your listeners who won't get the email, and I'll also post it in the chat room here, my site,
where
you can find out more, and as well as the email. But let me mention that there's a great film that your listeners can find. There's two of them. One is a more recent film done on the subject matter that I think will boggle all of your listeners' minds, and it's House of Numbers, okay?
Oh.
House of Numbers. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is a film that you can find on Google Video for free. It's 120 minutes, 2 hours, of a film called HIV equals AIDS, Fact or Fraud. And that's
Ooh.
One of the links I'll post in your chat room here, so anybody listening live
wow.
can check that out. And I hope that you guys stay in touch with me. And let
okay.
me know what you think, because I'm still wrapping my head around this. I'm still learning. But I think we do need to look at all the different sides.
Okay, let me ask you one last question before I go to the next caller. So if HIV equals AIDS is a fraud, why would the government tell us that? Did you all have, like, a conclusion as to what that was all about?
Well, who in the government's telling us these things? It was announced in a press conference by Dr. Robert Gallo, who basically pushed this upon people because of private interest groups. We have Dr. Anthony Fauci, the White House correspondent, advising the government, and he's an interested party in the success of this notion that HIV is this disease, because he's invested $20-plus million dollars into the very drugs treating this supposed illness, okay? So these people have a vested interest, and it's not our entire government. A lot of our government doesn't know. They simply are just like you and I. They've never heard somebody like myself mention the alternative theories. They've never heard about it themselves. So after a while, if something's repeated enough, people just assume it as truth. And that's why it's important that our government officials, and I spoke in front of my city commission about this this week in honor of World AIDS Day, it's important that they do keep an open mind and just don't take something because their superior told them it's correct for granted.
Wow. Thank you so much, caller. We definitely will look into House of Numbers and HIV equals AIDS factor fraud.
You got it. And I'm going to post it in the chat room. I'm Intel Hub News Network on the chat here. So thanks so much. I'm enjoying the show.
Wonderful. Thank you. We're going to go to area code 808. Good afternoon. Welcome to Center Stage.
How you doing today?
Fine. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me on. I think this is a very interesting topic that you're talking about today. And what I'm going to do is I would like to lay out some information on this for you.
Okay, lay down some information.
Okay. Now, what we're talking about here is we're talking about HIV.
Mm-hmm.
HIV, what that is, it's a virus. But you got to understand, HIV is a virus just like any other virus, like HPV.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the body, over the course of time, over the course of let's say since the 1600s, they have documented over 200 of these types of viruses that people have that's gotten over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And see, the thing about it, once your body makes an antibody for that particular disease,
mm-hmm.
you no longer have it anymore.
Wow.
You see, once you develop this antibody, that means your body has successfully fought off that particular virus and now has an antivirus for that particular virus, okay? So you can't get it again, okay?
Okay.
All right, now what's going on is this. When a person goes in to get an HIV virus, what's going on is that they're testing for the antibody.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they're testing for the HIV. So mm-hmm. When they're testing for HIV, they're testing for the antibody, which when you have the antibody, that you've already successfully have defeated that virus.
Hmm. Okay,
okay.
Forgive me for being a little slow to wrap my mind around all of that. So, to wrap it up in a bow for us, you're saying what?
What I'm saying is that when you have HIV, a person will get sick. They'll get sick for around 2 to 3 weeks, just like any conventional flu. But after that, they no longer have it.
Okay,
now,
we have someone who just joined us. Sharon is on the line, and she could probably tell us a little bit more about that. If she's interested in talking to us, press 1, Sharon. But Sharon knows a lot about the subject matter, and so
okay.
That would be very interesting if she weighs in on that topic, because I'm not familiar with that. I mean, I've never heard that before, so I don't know whether to say yay or nay on that.
Now, let me tell you about this. Now, the thing about it, you got to understand how the educational system works.
Okay.
In order for you to start dealing with this educational process.
Okay.
They're not teaching doctors in school. They're not teaching them this pathway of thinking.
Okay.
You see, they're teaching another pathway of thinking. They're teaching to diagnose and from their treatment. But they're not thinking any deeper, because you got to understand who's financing the educational system. You got to understand who's financing these things, and those are the drug companies. Okay. Now
let me tell you
something.
AJ and Kundalini, I mean, y'all have any thoughts on what she's saying? What the caller's saying?
Oh, well, I was wanting to ask, because I always wanted to ask, because I do know that there's supposed to be a difference in between HIV, and they always mention it as quote unquote full blown AIDS. Like,
right.
At what step is it considered to be the transition from it being HIV to it actually being AIDS?
Okay. Do I have time to explain that?
Okay, let me ask
sure.
you this. Tell us, are you like a professional? Are you someone who has the virus? Or how do you come about your knowledge?
Well, see, I've been researching various topics for quite some time.
Okay.
My third eye opened up around in 1992 when I started realizing a lot of the different things that are going on around us. And this is one of the particular subject matters that I've spent quite a lot of time doing research. I mean, I found myself sitting down there with doctors at every level, and we've had some very constructive conversations, and I have not been proven wrong yet.
Okay. Do me a favor.
So what I'm giving you is what I'm giving you is something that I am not the one to be believed, but
okay.
what I'm asking people to do is take the information on board and do research for yourself.
Okay. Can you tell us the next thing that you were going to tell us in about the next 2 minutes? Because we got some other callers we got to get to. But I'd love to hear what it is that you're saying, because some of this I've never heard before, I must admit.
Okay, now when you start taking, for instance, you start taking these drugs, okay? You
right.
start taking, like, for instance, AZT.
Mm-hmm.
You take these drugs, what it is, it's a poison to your system, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And your body starts building more white blood cells up in order to fight off the particular, to fight off the what's in your body killing yourself.
Okay.
That's why they have a. That's why all of a sudden you get a higher count as far as your ability when they start taking the drugs to get a higher count. But what happens is that after a certain time period, your body gets tired of fighting it off, and all of a sudden now you get a decrease. And that's when all of a sudden your immune system's open for the common cold to kill you.
Hmm.
Okay?
Okay?
And what people are not understanding is that what they understand is that the United States, all right,
mm-hmm.
86% of the drugs sold worldwide are sold in the United States of America. They will not put those statistics out there as many people in the United States that are taking drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're taking what we call synthetic drugs.
Right.
And these drugs are lowering the immune system along with a bad diet.
Okay.
And,
I tell
and,
you
and,
what,
and,
caller.
Yes.
I want to come back to you, but I'm going to open up the phone lines in just a second.
Go ahead.
Sharon, I have a caller just before you who's very knowledgeable on this subject that you just talked about. And I'd love very much for her to weigh in. If you would just... stay with us for a second as I go
yes.
to the next caller, and I'll come back to you. That's a promise,
yes.
okay?
Yes.
Okay. 212, good afternoon. Welcome to Center Stage. 252?
You said 252?
Yeah, 252. Good afternoon.
Okay, peace and blessings. My name is Brother Rick, Big Rick 1961. You know, I find it interesting that when people talk about the research, I mean, if you want to, you know, debunk what's already out there,
yes.
just go to the CDC.
Okay.
And the CDC information is so ambiguous that it's not even funny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because, you know, Amina's brother went back and forth because I said, listen, AIDS is a killer. HIV is not the road to get there. And that HIV and all the medications that what the system was out there, you know, breaks down the immune system. Because when AIDS was first diagnosed as any type of disease, for the first 3 years, it was a lifestyle disease. Because even when they ask you today for an AIDS test, they ask you psychological questions, they ask you lifestyle questions. They don't ask you, you know, if you've ever taken the AIDS test or been asked to take the AIDS test, okay? And in the beginning, it had to deal with drugs. It had to deal with people who were taking methamphetamine and you know, cocaine and, you know, this whole thing about it being an antiviral disease, that's another joke. Now, there's a doctor out there. His name is Peter Duesberg. And
wow.
Peter Duesberg works for the, who's a virologist, okay,
right.
University of Berkeley.
Right.
And I contacted him because, you know, he was talking all this stuff, and he sent me back some information that debunks it all, okay? And then I started doing my own research because there is something called the the Koch postulates, okay? And AIDS doesn't even, well, HIV, okay, doesn't even fall under the five Koch postulates. You have to have five Koch postulates in order to have a connection from one thing retroactively turning into another. And some of the areas in which HIV fell under didn't become part of the five Koch postulates till 13 years after they made the whole connection to HIV and AIDS. So there's a lot of information that's out there that if you just take just rudimentary steps into looking into it that don't make sense.
Okay. I tell you what, caller, please stand by. We're going to go to the next caller. I'm going to come back to you before the end of the show. But Sharon's going to enlighten us. She was one of our invited guests today, but she had another speaking engagement, and she's coming to us now. Good afternoon, Sharon.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm good. You've heard some of what people are saying. You yourself know a whole lot about the HIV and AIDS situation. Can you explain to them why and what you know, and does it connect with what these last two callers or last three callers have said about HIV and AIDS?
Well, I really didn't get a chance to hear all of the callers.
Okay.
I just got a little piece of what the gentleman was just saying. And my take on it is that, see, I've been living with HIV since I was 15, and I'm now 39 years old. And I do know it's a struggle, and you know, it's a fight that we're trying to fight. But, you know, until everyone needs to be responsible for their own actions, everyone needs to recognize that it's very self-explanatory. If you go outside without an umbrella in the rain, quite naturally you're going to get wet. So if you, you know, do the proper thing to protect yourself, that's married couples, unmarried couples. You know, you have to do what's right for you.
Okay, one of the ladies, and I will open the phone line back up to her. She said, I'm going to open her back up. Are you there, caller? Are you there, caller 808? Are you there?
808 is here.
Okay. Now, Sharon is living with HIV, and she has from age 15 to now 39. And you were saying that HIV is what? Explain that to us again.
HIV is a it is a virus. It is a virus. But once the human body has the built the immune and as far as you building your immune system for that particular virus, then basically that virus is lying dormant in your body. Now what's going on is that now we won't talk about the small percentage of people that inherently have a low immune system. Mm-hmm. We can put those in there. Then we can also you put in those people, like I said, that are using more of the synthetic made drugs that are also and also a bad diet.
But
we
see,
have
Sharon
to put
is
that
living
in
with AIDS from 15 to 39. Sharon, your phone line is open back up again. And so when you tell her synthetic drug, she has no choice, or she wouldn't have probably been here from 15 to 39 had she not taken it. I mean,
yes,
her diet, from what I understand, Sharon, your diet is pretty good, correct?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Your line is open.
Oh, we can hear you. Yes, my diet is great. I eat everything that everyone else eats.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of watch a little pork, you know, because it, you know, does mess with your blood pressure. But anything else, I had no choice but to take the medicine. Either
that
or not.
She didn't take
but
the synthetic,
would she
probably
But I can guarantee you this. I can guarantee you this. Is that if along with a good, like I said, there's a small percentage of the society that have weak immune systems.
Mm-hmm.
But I can guarantee you this, that the cocktails that people are taking for the drug, for the HIV, is killing them faster than the virus will itself.
Sharon, you believe that?
Well, I don't really, you know, I can't put a tail on that because, like I say, I've been living with HIV since the age of 15, and I'm 39 years old, and I'm still
HIV
positive.
And you're going to live a full age, and you're going to live a full lifespan.
Converted over to full-blown AIDS. And I do believe a lot of that comes from, you know, we take the medicine, we stop, and then, you know, we want to play Russian roulette with ourselves, you know, with this medication, when, you know, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you can't take the medication and then stop and then go back. You can't do that because, you know, the virus is real tricky. Once it recognizes that this medication, this cocktail, as you call it, you know, once they recognize that the medicine is there, it starts, you know, acting to that. And when you stop taking it, I mean, quite, you know it too. If you stop taking it, what happens?
Okay.
But you know what I'm saying? You got to do something.
You know, but that's the thing. You got to understand that what happened is the pharmaceutical companies have done a really good job at advertising. They've done a tremendous job. Trust me. For those who are listening on this radio podcast today, I want you all to understand that there's not a lot of commercials running nowadays for AIDS because it has.
A lot of people are afraid to even go get tested. Maybe that's something we need to put on the front.
Because when
I send a counselor, but I function agent, you know, they want to put their sign on on the T-bus station,
correct.
And I put a sign on there about the medication. Maybe
you're correct.
Promote that.
But let me tell you something. Big Pharma, it takes, for instance, a bottle of AZT only costs $5 for Big Pharma to make, and they're charging $500 a bottle. They're the biggest drug dealer in the world, and they're not going to stop.
808.
Along with this new health care program that's going to be going in place next year, and that's a whole other subject, you're talking about they're the biggest dope dealers in the world, and they know how to sell a real good product.
Wow.
Yeah, they make it look good to you.
But what do you say to the little girl, as I was myself at one time?
What do you say to me at 15 and I wasn't sexually active? I was stabbed and I received a blood transfusion when it wasn't no test for HIV. You know, when I got the test done, it was a Western blot that my mom signed for. So what do you tell the little girl? What do you tell her to do?
Yeah. Well, first of all, a child cannot understand what we're talking about today. And I'm sorry to say, but it's going to have to come. Right, it's going to have to come from an educated parent, a parent that wants to question. And what I ask you to do is, at the start of this conversation, what I'm asking you to do is ask, what are you testing for when you test for HIV? Are you testing for the virus?
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Center Stage right here.
Right. I mean, you're saying it right because that's what they do. They test for the antibody. That's what
exactly. Now, what I'm asking people to do is,
that's what they do.
So what I'm asking people to do is self-educate. I want people to find out exactly when you have an antibody, what does that mean to your body? When that body sends a signal for you to produce those antibodies, what is that telling your body, and what is that telling you, and what is that virus will do to you in the future? Those are the questions that people need to be asking.
Okay.
And then there needs to be a forum. And then somebody needs to be brought to the carpet. Because it's a travesty of what's happening in the United States. And this
is only
one subject.
So it sounds like the last three callers besides Sharon are saying that, you know, it's a conspiracy, you know, with the whole HIV virus and AIDS, and it maybe is not what the government is saying it really is. That's what I think I'm understanding you all to say. But thank you, 808.
Okay.
If you're just tuned in, you're listening to Center Stage right here on Blog Talk Radio. Today's topic is AIDS. The road leads back to the down low brother. If you're on the line and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening via the Internet, dial us up at 347-850-8390 and then press 1. A reminder, AJ and Kundalini are in the chat room today. So if you have a question or a comment and listening via the Internet, go into the chat room and tell us what you think. Sharon has done the show before, so this is Sharon's second time on Center Stage. Sharon, tell him a little bit about your situation, your struggle. It's not easy for someone living with HIV, is it?
What did you say again?
It's not easy living with HIV.
I'm driving down Raymond to stop 6, so you got to kind of bear with me. Say it again.
Okay. For people who may not know, the struggle of living with HIV is not easy.
I think it's just like any other sickness that we may have or come across, like cancer or diabetes. It's mental, emotional, and physical. And no, it's not easy living with HIV because, I mean, you deal with that. You know, you have depression. You have panic attacks because you panic about what society say or what society think you should be or what society think you should look like. You know, you worry about that. You worry how the impact of that lifestyle, the impact of your sickness could affect your kids. Will it cause your kids to have low self-esteem or, you know, be depressed because they're watching their mom or their dad or their grandmother or their cousin or a friend live and die like that? That is very devastating to anyone.
And Sharon, how many friends have you seen die from the disease?
I've lost so many friends to this walk. And I've been on the back of so many of my friends, male and female. They have lived in their house, barricaded in their house, afraid of what society may say or think about them. And, you know, that's more depression. And, you know, when a doctor tells you that you're HIV positive, they don't sit there and make an appointment for you to go see a psych. They don't do that. They just tell you that and let you walk away. And, you know, when it should be in place, I think appointment for depression should be in place. I think appointment for all of that should be in place.
Sharon, tell them what happened when they told you you had HIV. What happened that day?
That day they told me that I was going to New Life School. And they came to my school, and they told me that we have been looking for you for over a year. At that time, my mom was, you know, doing her thing. She wasn't, you know, she wasn't paying attention to what was being said. So somewhere else and I got lost in the system. And then when I started going to the doctor on my own, that's when I later learned about this virus, and I learned how devastating this virus is going to impact my world. And it has done that. And I see people, I see elder people, I see young people with this disease. I see men that are afraid to even go get tested, knowing that they're being promiscuous at the club, even women.
I think the part of Sharon's story I want her to tell y'all, and she may not remember, she told me this part. I think was when they told you, I think, didn't they take you to the hospital to tell you about your diagnosis?
No, this is what they did. They came, the health department came to the school. They told me that I needed to go to JPS. They took me to JPS. Then they later told me that I needed to contact an adult because they could not talk to me when I'm an adult being present. So as they were telling me this, that I had HIV, and my aunt happened to be working in a nurse's facility, so she knew what HIV and AIDS were. She had saw the devastation of it. By me being young, I wasn't aware of what was going on. And so that's what's wrong today. Our kids, if our parents are not educated enough to teach our kids, you know, our kids are just lost. And I was lost because I didn't know what they were. I didn't know what they were talking about.
I asked the question earlier, Sharon, and you can best answer this one, because for what I understand from you, you've never dated anyone since you've had the virus that actually had the virus as well. So my question was, can someone actually have HIV and not transmit it to someone else who doesn't have the virus?
Yes, you can, because you can live healthy. And I think, like today, I live a great life. You know, I have a little stipulation on my guidelines, but, I mean, that's what anything in today's society. You know, this is like catching herpes or syphilis. You want to wrap it up regardless who it is.
And Sharon condones using condoms for oral sex and vaginal sex, correct, Sharon?
Yeah. Yes, I think you should. I don't care if you're married or what. I think you should. Because Jody ain't going to tell you that he got gonorrhea, and she ain't going to tell you that she got herpes. So, I mean, what's the difference? Just wrap it up.
Wow. Sharon, tell us something. I was telling them before you joined us about the lady that's in your group who says that she has unprotected sex. That's not what she said. She has sex with people, but she doesn't tell them that she has the virus. She just uses a condom.
See, I have a problem with that because I don't understand how can you not tell someone what is going on with you. You know, and I still say again, that's just like having herpes. They don't want to tell you that they have herpes. They just lay down with you.
Those that didn't catch that part, this lady told them in group that she has sex with people, but she doesn't tell them that she has the virus. And Sharon, what is her reason for not telling people that she has the virus?
I think to each his own. You know, my personal experience with that is that you play a Russian roulette with your life, with your life and with your family life. Because if the rubber breaks, then what are you going to say? Oh, by the way.
So anybody who has the virus, it is their responsibility to tell people that they have the virus before they have sex.
Yes, you should.
At what point do you tell someone I'm HIV positive?
Me personally, what I do, I tell you off the bat because I don't want to waste my time conversating with you or we going out to eat or something. And maybe we're out to eat before I can even get a chance to tell you because society will tell your story. But society won't tell the truth about your story. So if the story is going to be told, it should come from you.
And I agree with Sherrod. I mean, I don't know if I agree as soon, but I think you definitely should tell people that you're before the sexual encounter.
I feel like this. If you have, you a man and a woman know, if they have any intentions of dating this person or might be a possibility of another date or something like that, we're all grown people here. So everybody, you know, I really think it's fair for the gentleman that's taking you out. I really think it's fair that he knows, and I really think it's fair to the woman that's going out with the gentleman that he needs to tell her as well. Look, hey, let me tell you something about me, because you may not want to be seen with a person like that, because people, you know, people stigmatize, you know, on that. And people
okay,
sure, know the way a person with HIV should look is that they're small, they're skinny, their teeth are falling out. But people look like they're just smoking crack.
That's true. Sharon, tell us, what are they telling us in terms of, you know, you're very connected with what's going on in the world of HIV and AIDS. How often should you be tested? What are they saying?
Every six months. And people need to understand, just because you get a test at this 6 months period, okay, so I got a test on a Monday, and the test came back negative, and I don't sleep with Joe Blow. You know, that doesn't mean that I didn't have HIV, it just didn't show up at that moment.
Okay, we're going to go back to 808, because 808, I'm sorry, it wasn't 808, it was it 404? 404, was it? No, it wasn't 404, I'm sorry, I forgot who that was. Was it 2-5? No, it wasn't 2-5. I'm sorry. Whoever it was left the line. I remember the number. But someone said they had their own show. They were saying that the whole HIV and AIDS thing is a fraud, and that, you know, I wish they called back in and tell us exactly what they said. Adrian Kuzulani, can y'all go and tell us what that guy said about there's a film out that's the House of Numbers and the one that mentioned about HIV equals AIDS. Factor fraud. That person who called in, I don't remember. If you're still on the line, blink your hand up and down so I'll know that I'm talking about you. But that person had a lot of suspicion raised about whether or not the HIV virus was really what they say it is. What do you think? I mean, even 808
said
that. Yeah, go ahead.
I think part of the thing is just like when you research in CDC, you found conflicting reports. It was according to how you worded the question.
Right.
So I think since this is something unbeknownst to most people and they don't really know the origin hasn't been solidified where it came from, so all these opinions on everybody else, you can find something to slant your argument any way you want to. But I think there is some validity to both sides, but finding the truth is always the problem.
Okay.
So I think everybody has some good points that they're making on their research, and you know, everybody said they're researching it. But researching and living with it is two different things.
Very true. Where can people go to get tested?
Oh, they can go right there at 400 North Beach in Fort Worth. You can go right there at 400 North Beach.
And
the Center or the AOC, whichever way you want to call it. But you can go there. You can go to the Public Health Department that's located on Rosedale and Main Street. To be tested, the test is free. That's what's so amazing, because the test is free. And we are so selfish that we won't even go take a free test. But we don't get a free piece of ass.
Where can people get free condoms?
At the health department or at 400 North Beach.
Okay, y'all heard that. If you're in the Fort Worth area, 400 North Beach will do testing, and they will give you free condoms, and so will the health department. Do we know if the health department has
free
condoms?
Does 400 North Beach test every day of the week?
Every day of the week. You can also get free condom, free lubrication, and free denim. You can also get counseling. You can also, I mean, if you test positive, you know, even if you are not positive, you know, you may have a family one, a loved one that's living with HIV, you know, and it's devastating to the person that's not affected to watch their loved one, you know, do that.
Die of that. Wow. Okay, we're down to the last 5 minutes. If you're on the line, you need to press 1, or if you're listening via the Internet and you have a question or a comment, the number to call is 347-850-8390. We're going to go, let's see. My number's changed. And so I think that the general consensus is there's a lot of information out there about whether or not the virus, we're going to go back to 808 and open back up her phone lines again. Now, 808, you say you've been doing a lot of research, and I respect that because I did a lot of research for this show myself. But do you want, you're not wanting to put the information out there that the virus is not real, are you?
Oh, no, indeed. I am not putting out the information that the virus is not real. The virus is very real.
Okay.
But I want people to also understand this, too, that if you looked at the statistical information as of last year, do you know how many people died of AIDS in the United States last year?
No, how many?
16,000.
Okay.
You're correct, too.
Oh,
and
really?
This is an epidemic?
Okay. So 16,000 really isn't a large number is what you're saying.
Oh, no, not at all, because if you can look at some, trust me, I've been in cities where they're telling me that 50% or more of our black folks are infected, and that's wrong.
Oh, okay, so that's not
totally
true?
Wrong.
You know what I think we should do, Ms. 808? I think we should go and find out about the blacks, the white and the Latino and the Asian, how many are dying in these hospitals? How many are dying in prison with HIV? How many are dying in the nursing home with HIV? You know, because there's a record somewhere.
They're black, they're white.
We're not, you know, and it would, I mean, because society want to make it look like it's all about black people when it's
That's
not.
That's right. It is,
you know,
not.
Every race is permissive with every race.
It is not. And what I would also tell people that are listening today is that you will find it very difficult to get a lot of the information you need on the subject matter we're talking about. You will only get their view of it because it is censored on computer. You will rarely find. There are just so many websites that you're going to get to that's going to actually tell you what you're dealing with. I've been reading clinical books in order for me to get this type of information. There is no way you're going to find this on the Internet that's going to give you the information that you're looking for, because they're going to push the drugs on you, and they're going to push this philosophy that everybody's dying of it when it's not the case.
Okay, I'm gonna ask you very quickly, 808. So a person, you're saying if a person has HIV, okay, let's just say they believe that their diagnosis is HIV, what are you saying that they should be doing? We're down to our last 90 seconds, so you have to talk quickly. What are you saying that they should be doing?
Okay, what they need to do is that they need to start researching, start from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Research exactly what processes they went through.
Mm-hmm.
In order for them to find out they're HIV positive, they need to find out what that is, what your body's doing. From there, the mindset needs to change, along with a lifestyle change.
Mm-hmm.
Along with the lifestyle change.
Gotcha.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then from that point, just slowly start integrating yourself into being who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Because
You got diet, you got something that you need to be taking, so you're not telling them not to take the meds, though, are you?
Because you can't just get right off of it, because this has been you got to understand, this is very shocking. I mean,
okay,
to
I know
find
I'm saying
out
someone
that
has just been diagnosed,
HIV,
you're not saying that they should not take the meds, right?
No, take the meds until you get to a point in your mind where you can get off of it, because this is a mental state.
Okay, wow. We're going to have to let that be the last
one. I have a question. I just have a question. When you say take the medicine and get off of it, I mean, how do you do that? How can you say that? I mean, do you know how many people are listening to that? I mean, do you know how many young girls are hearing you say that? What if they take it and they feel like their mind is strong enough, well, I got to take it again? Then what happens? I watch
it all comes from breeding, because when you know that you have the antibodies, when you have the antibodies, that means your body has defeated it. You don't have the flu from last year, do you? No, it's a new virus.
No, strain. My friends take this medication and stop taking this medication knowing that they have HIV, and they have went from HIV to full-blown AIDS. I have watched several
right.
of my
That's
friends
right. because
stop
what happened is while you take
the,
because
taking the medication completely. I have watched that.
Okay, I'm down to the last
30
seconds. That's
going
to have
that.
To be the final word. We'd like to say to Sharon, thank you for being our guest today. She's enlightened us and told us a lot about the virus.
Thank
that
you,
we didn't know in 808. I appreciate your comment.
Thank you, 808.
And all of the other callers that called in. But we'd like to say the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage or the host. Also, we'd like to tell you to join us on New Year's Eve this year. We're going to do a New Year's Eve countdown starting at 10:30, and we'd love for you to join us. The clock on the wall says we got to get out of here, y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Okay.